This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, I just can't stop ministering on prayer. Amen?
Amen.
And prayer is powerful. If you were here last week, if you haven't, get that message, the prayer of Jabez.
Yes.
It's the prayer to expand and enlarge your territory. And God wants you to keep increasing. You believe that today? So we're focusing on prayer today, and we're focusing on the fact that that we are spirit beings. Somebody say, I'm a spirit. I live in a body, and I possess a soul. So we are like a three-part being. Amen? And so we need to, you know, my title of my message is Praying in the Holy Spirit. So we've been talking about a lot of different types of prayers, and we're going to look at Ephesians 6:18 this morning. And it's the Apostle Paul, and he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. So let's break this down. First of all, he's telling us that we need to pray in the Spirit of all occasions. Secondly, he says that we need to pray with all kinds of prayers. And that's, you know, prayer of faith. Glory to God. And with the prayer of faith, you never put, if it be thy will. Amen. In the prayer of faith. Now, you have the prayer of petition. You have the prayer of agreement. You have the prayer of consecration. And you can use, if it be thy will, in the prayer of consecration, like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you have the prayer of intercession. We're not going to focus on all these prayers this morning. But these are prayers that we need to be praying all the time. And thirdly, he says, keep alert and keep praying for all the saints. I'm going to say this, more than just praying for yourself, you need to start praying for others.
Amen? Yes.
Amen? Why? Because you're in contact with them. Amen? Amen? And you want them blessed so you can be blessed. Amen? So I believe that we can go the next level in the Spirit by praying in the Spirit. What is praying in the Spirit? It's praying in an unknown language that God can give every believer.
Amen.
It's called your spiritual prayer language. And I love that. So Paul connects praying in the Spirit. Some may say praying in the Spirit is praying with more vim and more vigor. And that's nice. And you can pray, you know, very strong with gusto. Amen. But really, praying in the Spirit is praying in your heavenly language. And I like what 1 Corinthians, this is Paul, he's talking about praying in the Spirit. He says, for I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with the Spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, and I will also sing with my understanding. So here, Paul is saying that you can pray in the Spirit and you can sing in the Spirit. That's powerful. So I believe that he's connecting the gift of tongues with praying in the Spirit. Would you agree with me there? So I love that. So praying in the Spirit helps us to pray and to praise God in a higher level. And how many people want to go higher in here? I don't know about you, but I just don't want to just have an average prayer life. I want to have an above average prayer life. I want my prayers to be reaching heaven. I want power to be behind my prayers, and you can have power behind your prayers. Amen? And so I love that. So it says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he that speaks an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, and no man understands him, howbeit the Spirit speaks mysteries. So when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying out mysteries. That's powerful. That's powerful. Now, the mystery is not, it's to us, but God wants us, he wants to reveal mysteries to us. He wants to show us things to come. God wants to reveal the answer to your problem. And a lot of times, the answer to your problem is in praying in the Spirit. Because the Spirit knows all things. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so we need to pray in the Spirit, especially when we don't know what to do. Sometimes we don't know how to do it, and we need to learn to pray in the Spirit. It says, and then it says here, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So God doesn't want you just praying out a mystery that you don't know. God wants you praying out English words that can lead your life. Amen. I remember that I've given this story before, but I was at Rhema Bible Training Center. Now it's called Rhema Bible College. And I was in Oklahoma, and I bought a house out there, and I wasn't planning on coming back. But I loved the Lord. I was planning on setting up maybe a ministry there. I wasn't too sure what God was calling me to do at that time. And so I started praying, and I would spend time praying in this special language that God can give every believer that desires it. And I would pray in this special language, and all of a sudden, I interpret my prayers. And it came out as a phrase, go help Pastor Joe. So that was a mystery to me before I was praying out, because I really had no desire to go help Pastor Joe. Amen. I didn't have a desire. See, God, when he calls us, he will always call us to go help somebody. He will always put it on our heart to be a blessing to somebody else. And so God was calling me to come back and help the pastor of Abundant Harvest Church, and I did, praise God. And through that process, the pastor turned the church over to me. Wow, is that powerful? So I helped him and he helped me come into my calling. And so I'm going to say this, that when you pray in an unknown language, you're praying out the mysteries, but pray that God will give you interpretation unless you don't want to do God's will. unless you want to do your own thing. Well, you better not be praying then. Lots of people want to do their own thing. But I'm going to say this, the blessing is in doing God's thing. That's the blessing that you're going to receive. And my blessing was here in Virginia Beach, and that's Yen Lambert, glory to God. Because I couldn't find my good thing in Oklahoma, and my good thing was in Virginia Beach, glory to God. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. The devil's a liar, amen? And so I love this. So how important, this is the question I want to ask you this morning. How important is praying in the Spirit to our faith life? How important is it? I would say it's very important praying in this special language, which if you really desire it, God can give it to you. Amen? And so we know it's very important because it's mentioned three times in the Gospels. In Matthew 3:11, by John the Baptist, that was a prophet. In Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Powerful. Then he says here, Mark 1:8, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. My notes are messed up. Amen. Glory to God. I'm missing a page. Oh, Lord. No, here it is. Here it is. Oh, my gosh. That's where you got to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, amen. And then I like this in John 3:16. Not John 3:16, but Luke 3:16. And I like Luke 3:16 because John 3:16 is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's getting saved. But Luke 3:16 is just as powerful. John answers saying, all to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one is mightier than I. I'm coming, those whose sandal strap, I'll get it out, will not be worthy to, I'm not worthy to loose, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we see here that any time that anything is mentioned, at least three times in the scriptures, that means pay attention. That means it's important. Anytime it's mentioned, three times. So really, there are like three baptisms in a Christian faith. Three baptisms. The first baptism is the baptism in the body of Christ. This is where you get saved. Hallelujah. We get immersed into a new family when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, for whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink of one Spirit." So I'm going to say this to you today. You have a new family, and that's the family of God. That's why I love this church, because this church is like a family church. We love each other. We support each other. We are in it to win it. Can I get a witness in the house today? And then we have the baptism of water. If you've never been baptized in water, I want to encourage you. We do water baptisms at the Baptist Church. And if you've never been water baptized and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to sign up and get water baptized. I believe it will bless your life. When I got water baptized, and I got saved the same day and got water baptized the same day, when I came out of that water, the love of God flooded over me. I felt the love and the peace and the joy, and I felt like I was in a new family by just coming out of that water, glory to God. So you're identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. You're being buried under the water, and you're coming up as new life. Amen? And so it says in Matthew 28, and Jesus came, 18 through 19, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." So salvation is connected to water baptism. But water baptism doesn't save you. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ saves you. It's an outward expression of an inward work. Amen. So it's the wedding band to your marriage to the Lord. Amen. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38 by Jesus' stripes on the hill. And Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's powerful. That's powerful. So God wants us walking in this gift. Now, there's a lot of us that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, but are you praying in the Holy Spirit? Amen. Are you utilizing the gift? Because we can have a gift and not use it, and it won't do you any good. But I want to stir you up this morning that if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, to start praying in the Holy Spirit as often as you can. Amen. And don't be afraid that God may show you something that He may want you to do. And if He does, it's always going to be good. Amen. Yeah. Amen. God's plan and His will for you is always good. You got to believe that. He will always bring you into a blessing. Amen. So I love this. The early church was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let's look at Acts 1:4. "And being assembled together with them," this is Jesus, we're talking about how important it is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, "He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard from Me, for John truly baptizes with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days now.'" This is interesting because some people, what Jesus was saying was, is baptism a command or an option? And for these disciples, He commanded them. So that's pretty strong this morning. So Jesus commanded them to stay in Jerusalem. In other words, He said that this is an important part of your salvation. You need to stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need more power. How many people need more power in here? Glory to God. And I need to walk into more power of God, because I don't know about you, but there is a devil out here, and that devil is trying to steal, kill, and to destroy. And we can overcome the works of the flesh and the works of the devil if we start praying in the Spirit, glory to God. Amen. So then they said, Lord, is it in Acts 1, 6, and 7, therefore they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They wanted the Lord to take care of business right then and there. And the Lord wasn't going to take care of business right then and there. Amen. And they said, Are you going to set up the kingdom now? They were hoping that, and the Lord said, no, it's not for this time or seasons, only in the Father's authority. Amen. And then Jesus focuses here, but you shall receive power. Somebody say power. Amen. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, and Norfolk. Amen. God wants you being a powerful witness for Him. And by Jesus Christ, I'm healed. And so somebody say, I'm a powerful witness for the Lord. So I don't know about you, but I need more power. One of the great benefits of praying and praising in the Spirit is you receive the power of the Holy Spirit of greater joy, greater peace, and greater strength. Any of you that prayed in the Holy Ghost, I'd be working a job. I was working a job, a secular job in the mall. I sold jewelry, and sometimes I'd be tired, and so you could take a break and go upstairs and get maybe a Coke or a Pepsi or something. And I would pray in the Spirit while I walked upstairs. And when I came back, I was so fired up, ready to do work. It was amazing. So I'm telling you, when you pray in the Spirit, it actually strengthens you. It gives you peace and gives you joy. And I don't know about you, but I need strength, peace, and joy to overcome what the enemy is trying to do in my life. In Jude 1:20, it says, "But you, by Jesus Christ, I'm healed. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." And then the rest of it says, "Keeping yourself in the love of God." Keeping yourself in the love of God. What is the devil working against? He's working against our love walk. Amen. And if you're not in peace, if the enemy's trying to get you out of peace, you're going to be out of love. Because if you're out of peace, then fear is working, worry is working, and it will cause anxiety to be in your life. But when you're praying in the Spirit, God will give you that peace that surpasses all understanding. He will strengthen you and help you walk this Christian life. Amen. Amen. And I love this in the Amplified. It says, but you, beloved, build yourself up on the foundation of your most holy faith, continually progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, pray in the Holy Spirit. That's powerful. So here he's saying that as we pray, we get stronger and stronger in God. And I'm telling you, praying in the Spirit is important to your prayer life. Amen. Boy, do I get one amen out of this? You guys are quiet this morning. Quiet in this Presbyterian church. Amen. Amen. In Acts 2, it says here, when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Amen. And suddenly, somebody say suddenly. You know, God moves in suddenlies, glory to God. And suddenly there came a sound of heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I don't know if you know this or not, but this is Pentecostal Sunday. Amen. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that Jesus walked with the disciples for 40 days and 40 nights. He was here on the earth ministering to the disciples, glory to God. And then they went into the upper room, and Pentecost means 50, which means jubilee or freedom. Amen. God wants you free in the spirit. God wants you free. He doesn't want you drudgery praying, you know, and he wants your prayer life to be exciting. He wants your prayer life to be powerful. He wants your prayer life to go to the next level. Can I get a witness in the house today? It's not supposed to be boring. Your prayer life is not supposed to be boring. It's supposed to be exciting. Amen. I remember I was praying one day, and I was praying, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on me, because there's a spirit of prophecy that can come on a believer, and you can prophesy. There's a spirit of intercession that can come on a believer through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I was praying, and the spirit of intercession came on me, and I started interceding, and didn't really understand what was going on, but I knew the Holy Spirit was working. This was on a Thursday morning. I was off work, and I was praying. I was doing my devotions, and I found, and I ended up, the Bible talks about that the Holy Spirit can groan through a believer, through groanings, and that's not because you're getting old if you're groaning, amen? It's the Spirit of God can, you know, Jesus groaned when he raised Lazarus from the dead, amen? And so it's deep calling deep. Somebody say deep.
Deep.
Calling deep. And so I prayed out this morning, and I found out that my nephew got in a car accident, a head-on car accident, and he wasn't wearing his seatbelt, and he wasn't hurt, and the other person wasn't hurt in the other car. He went through a red light. And I don't know, that praying, I believe, saved his life. And he said supernaturally, he put his hands up and he was able to stop himself from hitting the dashboard head on 40 miles an hour. Now, can anybody put their hands up and stop themselves from hitting the windshield? That's somebody say supernatural. Amen. And God wants you walking in the supernatural. Amen. I don't want a boring Christian life. I don't want my life to be boring. I want it to be exciting in God. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will make your life exciting. Amen. This right here is talking about that everybody in that upper room, there were 120 people. It wasn't just for the apostles. A lot of people say, well, you know, the apostles needed that power to get the gospel out. No, it was for everybody that was in the upper room that day. And I'm going to say this to you today, that the power is for you as well. It's not just for preachers. Amen. It's for everybody. Say it's for me. So I believe that the gift of the Holy Ghost can open, by Jesus Christ I'm healed, can open miracles in our lives every day. Amen. And we discover and we see something about Philip. And Philip is a person that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was a person that they called him the Philip the Evangelist. And he went to Samaria. And let's look at Acts 8:47. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord, heeding the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many were paralyzed and lame were healed. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I want God to use me in healing. How would you like God to use you in healing? How would you like God to use you in exercising some demons out of your family relatives? Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Out of some of your acquaintances. Amen. Amen. Get behind me, Satan. Right? Amen. God can use you to deliver people. And God wants to use not just the preachers, not just the apostles, not just the evangelists or the prophets. He wants to use you. You may say, little old me. He wants to use you to do mighty works in the earth. The Bible says believers. How many believers do I have out here? Amen. Glory. I'm glad I can lay hands on the sick. You got what's the prerequisite for healing people? Believe. Amen. Be a believer. Somebody say, I'm a believing believer. Amen. And so we see here that Philip walked in the power of God. Amen. And this is interesting. Philip had the gifts of healing, but it seemed like he lacked the gift of praying for the Holy Spirit to be on the group of people that got saved, because it says here in Acts 8:14 that other apostles, John and Peter, was sent there. It says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria, this is where he was ministering, had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down to pray for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's powerful. So I thought that once you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit. You do. When you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit within. But when you get baptized, you have the Holy Spirit upon. Amen. It's kind of like putting on your Superman suit. Glory to God. Superman, you know, we're all Clark Kent, but then you got to go into the phone booth, right? And you got to go, spiritual man.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Right? And so you have to put on the Spirit, glory to God. And it says here, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Jesus, talking about water baptism. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. I don't know why Philip couldn't do the whole job down there, but it looked like they needed Peter and John, because God doesn't give all the gifts to everybody. That's why we need people in the church operating in different gifts. And God has called each one of you to operate. You may be able to do some things that I can't do. And I might be able to do some things that you can't do. Amen. But when we work together, it makes a great symphony for God. Amen. Do you believe that today? So we see here John and Peter, the apostles, lay hands on the believers in Samaria and they receive. My question is, how important is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for a believer? It's greatly important in aiding the believer in being a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Apostle Peter. Peter went to Cornelius' house, and some of you might be familiar with this story, but Cornelius is in Acts 10. And this is interesting, because some people say, well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was just for that day on Pentecost. But it wasn't just for that day, because this is 10 years later that Peter is in the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius was a man, a centurion of the Italian regiment. And it says in Acts 10, a devout man who feared God and all his household, who gave alms generally to the people and prayed to God always. Now, this guy wasn't a believer in Jesus, but this guy was serious about trying to serve God. And I know some people say, can God hear a person's prayer that doesn't know Jesus? Yes, he can. Amen. He can hear a person that is humble and that wants God in their life. Yes. Amen. And so some people say, well, he won't hear the sinner. Yeah, he will hear the sinner, and he will respond to the sinner. Glory to God. You believe that today? He responded to you, right? Thank God. And he responded to me. Amen. Thank God. And so God will hear a humble persons. Amen. And Peter was led to go to his house, and Peter preached salvation to the family and friends. And while Peter was still speaking in Acts 10:44, it says the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles also. That's powerful. That's powerful. This is something to think about. They got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit before they even got water baptized. Think about that. Think about it. God can do it any way He wants to do it. God can baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire before you get water baptized. Now, I'm not saying don't get water baptized. I think you should be faithful in doing that. I think there's a key to a blessing of God in your life. But this was powerful. This really convinced Peter that they were saved. This convinced Peter. He said they got the same gift that we got on the day of Pentecost. And so what is God doing? He's doing the same things today. He's filling people with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that we can walk in the power of God. Amen. And then Paul came upon some Baptists. Amen. And these people actually were baptized of the baptism of John. And then in Acts 19, and this was actually almost 20 years later after Pentecost, and it says here in Acts 19, and it happened with Apollos, was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe?" Now I'm really surprised Paul would ask that question first. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? So Paul must have been saying, he's saying here, he's putting this as very important. Have you received the Holy Spirit? My question to you today, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit since you believed? Amen. And so they said they never even heard whether there was a Holy Spirit. And then he says, what were you baptized in? They said, John baptism. And then he explained Jesus being resurrected from the dead. They received salvation and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So if God is doing it, see, is Jesus the same today? He's the same miracle working Jesus of yesterday, today, and forever. And He's still doing mighty things for you. Amen? I like this because I believe we need to be walking in the power. I believe we need to be praying for those that are baptized to be praying in the Holy Spirit more. I hope I'm encouraging for the ones that are baptized and the ones that are not, that you would have a desire to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna. There is a book that Brother Hagin has on how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna try to get my hands on that book and get them out to anybody that's looking to get baptized. It's a step-by-step manual on how to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Anybody might be interested in that book. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I got a hand raised. Amen. And so that's how my brother got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He read the book. And he went through all the steps and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I'm telling you, God wants you walking in the power. You know, Paul did not have a powerless ministry. The Apostle Paul walked in miracles, healings, and deliverance. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power." God wants us walking in the demonstration of the Spirit and power in our lives. Do you believe that today? And as we seek God, as we endeavor to pray in the Spirit, as we praise in the Spirit, I call that perfect praying and perfect praising, because you can't mess up the heavenly language. You can't mess it up. And one good thing about this heavenly language, the devil can't understand what you're saying. Amen. So you're praying out those things for your future and for the future of your family. So we discovered today that God wants every believer to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We know this is to be true because baptism of the Spirit is mentioned three times in three of the four Gospels. And Jesus commanded the early church to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We know that baptism of the Holy Spirit was connected for people that got saved in the New Testament. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit produces power in a believer's life to be a powerful witness. God wants you being a powerful witness. He wants you walking in peace. He wants you walking in joy. He wants you walking in the very presence of God. Amen? You are God's ambassadors. You are representing God down here. And God wants you representing Him well. He wants you representing Him with joy, regardless of what you're dealing with. I'm going to be joyful, regardless of this cough. Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy. Glory to God. He's trying to hinder my preaching. I'm not going to let him do it. Amen. Glory to God. You got to be a fighter. You just can't just roll over with every little hit that the devil does. You got to fight through and you got to keep fighting until you win. And I'm looking at winners today that's not giving up, that's going to keep pressing in until they see the grace of the God, of the Lord Jesus Christ working in their lives. Baptism of the Holy Spirit produces power in a believer's life to be a powerful witness. Baptism of the Holy Spirit helps us to pray and worship God. So I'm going to get some of those books just in case there's somebody out here, and we'll try to get those out by next Sunday. Amen. So that you can pray in the Holy Ghost. So that you can pray and sing and build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't miss out on the baptism of the Holy Spirit for your life. It's available for each one of us. And for those that are baptized, keep praying in the Holy Ghost and watch God do miracles in your lives. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Lord, that we have the power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be a witness for you. I thank you, Father God, for those that are here listening, those that are watching and listening. Perhaps you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, today is a day of salvation. I want to invite you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Receive Jesus and receive all that He has for you. So just, if you're ready to do that, just pray this simple prayer and mean your heart. Say, Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. If you're watching here locally, come on out. Be a part of Exceed Life Church. We'd love for you to be here. We have a seat for you. If you're not here locally, come go to a church that you can get involved in, that you can grow in your faith.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.